All right. Welcome back, guys. Man, what a week. Full Gear was absolutely incredible. I expected nothing less. The match was good. The card was good, top to bottom. There's so much we have to get through. I'm so excited about a couple of these things. I'm going to get right into it, so I don't waste a ton of time here, guys. Unfortunately, I've been recording these episodes pretty late in the week. It's just the way it's been working. Ideally, I would like to record these shows right after Dynamite airs Wednesday nights. That's almost never the case usually with what I have going on and with my other show. So I apologize, but it seems like later in the week is just what's going to be, how it's going to be going forward. So I hope you guys don't mind that. I will try to get it out sooner in the week, or at least get it to Matt sooner in the week. So just bear with me. But I'm gonna get right into it here, guys. The first match of the night for Full Gear, and obviously if you're listening to me right now, you saw this whole thing. But so I'm just going to quickly just, you know, touch on some things. I forget what my overall record was, and I actually don't think I wrote it down, but I was pretty proud of myself because it's tough to really nail down, you know, the predictions. Like, it's really tough to get, like, most of them right a lot of times. Wrestling can be pretty predictable, but in this case, it was, at least as AEW is concerned, it's a bit more difficult. But the first match of the night was Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. And Jungle Boy was busted open early in this one. I felt like Luchasaurus dominated for most of this. The table spot in this was with, you know, Jungle Boy jumping off the top of the cage. It was off. I struggle to use the word botched. It was just off. It's a tough spot. Jungle Boy won. I thought for sure Luchasaurus was going to win this. I was off to a rough start, 0-1 on the night. But Jungle Boy, he needed that one. He needed that win. Next was Death Triangle versus the Elite. I was giddy, guys. I mean, it is no surprise that this is the match I was most looking forward to. And man, I was like a kid on Christmas, just waiting for this. And without even saying how this match went, and obviously you already know, but this best of seven series is such a fantastic idea. I was telling you guys before that whenever the Elite and the Lucha Bros get in any match, and I know I'm excluding Pac and Kenny Omega in this, but obviously they make the match incredible as well. But the Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros together are just insane. The first note I have here, I picked this as match of the night, and I believe it was match of the night. Without even getting to the other matches, I believe this was match of the night, and I honestly don't even think it was particularly close. The Ring of Honor Championship match was pretty good, but this match was just, nobody was ever going to touch it. The in-ring chemistry, and this is the first note I have here, between the Young Bucks and Lucha Bros is out of this world. It's absolutely insane. And my second note here is because Kenny Omega is hands down one of the best. In my opinion, Kenny Omega is one of the best to ever do it. I preface that with "in my opinion" as if that were going to be some huge bold statement. There are a lot of people that feel that way. But I put right here, Kenny Omega does not experience rust, which is an exaggeration. Everybody does, right? You see these guys, they're out with injury for a while and then they're a little rusty. It just seems like Kenny Omega doesn't miss a beat. He's just too good. In this match, I don't believe this match made Pac look all that strong. This focused a lot on the Elite, obviously. And obviously the Death Triangle using the hammer to win. I did call Death Triangle winning here. there are so many great back and forths in this match. But that triangle getting the W, using the hammer, finally giving in to the dark side. I'm 1-1 on the night after that. That was my match of the night. Was my favorite match of the night. I struggled to look at it like it was all downhill from there. But I guess I was a little bit, there was a real small piece of me that was sad because this match was over and it was the second match of the night. And I was just like disappointed, you know, I was hoping that was going to be later into the evening, but it's fine. Next was Jade Cargill and Nyla Rose. This was my least favorite match of the night. I'm not really entirely sure what really made it that way for me. It was a little slow. It felt boring. I felt like I lost interest pretty quickly. This whole idea of stealing the title and acting like you're the champion, it's been done before, and it's not exactly original. I don't know. I'm just not a fan of Nyla Rose, I guess, really. It just was boring. Cargill retains. I mean, the title she retains. It made it seem like she re-won it. It's such a weird situation. It makes it seem like she won the title, but it was already hers. I don't know if they were... I don't know. That whole thing sort of bothers me. I love the Thundercats attire, by the way. I know a lot of Twitter was eating that up. The Thundercats get-up by Jade Cargill. This was the next match of the night. I'm 2-1 of the night, by the way. Sammy Guevara, Jericho, Claudio, and Danielson, Ring of Honor Championship. This was the next best match of the night, in my opinion. I know I've been harping on Jericho a lot and that he was going to get sort of carried to this match or dragged to this match. He held his own. This was very good. A couple of notes here. I think, and this has nothing to do with the wrestling, but whenever they show the camera views of the fans in the crowd, you know, singing Jericho's music, sometimes it's so over the top, it's a little bit cringy. Does anybody else get that? Like, you see some of these guys and you're like, oh God, stop it, stop. We get it. I don't know if it's to try to get on camera or what, but I cringe a little every time I see some of these guys way overboard with Jericho's entrance. I wrote here, does anyone actually like or even listen to Judas? It's just a joke, guys. I know some of you do. And if your Sammy G is a star, he's got this baby face about him, so it makes it seem like he's younger and maybe a little bit inexperienced. I read an article not too long ago that painted Sammy G in this way that's like he's got so much to learn. I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm sure he does have a ton he could learn, but the dude's been around and he's very, very good. He's a star. Sammy G is a star. Jericho looked good in this match. There were times where he looked sluggish, but you expect that with somebody his age. But otherwise, he looked good. And I was like sort of eating my own words a little bit with this because Jericho held his own. But with all of that being said, I know I'm sort of flying through these notes because there's a lot to get to. And I don't want to I still want to touch on some of Dynamite too. But my last note here is that Danielson... He was clearly the best this match. Bryan Danielson is another one that's just, he's one of the best in the world doing it right now. Not to steal the CM Punk thing, but he's legit one of the best doing it right now. The other thing with the Death Triangle versus the Elite, I forgot to mention this. There were some, explicit chants from the crowd, some FCM Punk chants, I actually tweeted out, sorry, I'm all over the place, guys, I tweeted out, this is a funny reminder of how quickly a fan base who begged for you to come back can turn on you. That wasn't a stab at, like, AEW fans or any particular fan, just this business can be so fickle that it, within a span of a year or so, you could have the biggest pop in years and within 1 year have the crowd chanting, you know, F you, because of, you know, some backstage drama. just very stark contrast. And another match that fell really short for me, and there's a reason for it though, was Saraya and Britt Baker. Saraya is very rusty. I know Twitter was all over her and telling, you know, and her praise, and it is a great story that she's back. But it doesn't mean that we can't acknowledge that she did not look very good. I'm certain that has a lot to do with the idea that she was probably only cleared, you know, when she debuted. And the ring rust will be shed. I'm certain of it, because Saraya is too good for that. But it's okay to acknowledge that she just did not look good without making this seem like we're hating on Saraya. It's to be expected. She didn't look good. We expect much better, and we will get much better. Britt Baker was awesome here and putting over Saraya. I think you could see Saraya, you know, saying, you know, giving her the thank you after the match, you know, or after the pin. This was a great spot, really heartwarming stuff. I don't want to be too much of a Debbie Downer, because I almost expected this, but this was one of the lesser matches of the night for me. And I'm 4-1 on the night now, if you're keeping score at home. I am 4-1. Next was Samoa Joe, Wardlow, and Powerhouse Hobbs. According to Twitter, a lot of people didn't see this coming. This was either or Wardlow retains or a Powerhouse Hobbs. I don't know that I expected Powerhouse Hobbs to win. I for sure thought Wardlow was going to retain. But Samoa Joe would have been the least likely of all the options if you made me, you know, rank them. I didn't see that coming. I guess that's what makes it so great, is that, you know, you just didn't. It's not an outcome you saw coming. Wardlow is, I have wrote here, Wardlow is so protected. You can see that AEW's got big plans for him, and just the growth that he's had in a short amount of time. The first one I had actually written was Powerhouse Hobbs is another one I think is going to be a world champion at some point. Another star. The dude is a star. I wrote that though, before he tapped out to Joe. but, you know, excluding the tap out to Joe, Hobbs is, I think he's a star. He just looks the part, you know, he's going to be a beast. He already is a beast, but you know what I mean. Another one that's a star in the making. I wrote I put an asterisk. I hated this outcome. Looking back, now having time to dwell on it a little, I don't hate it. It felt like it should be a Wardlow retains or nothing kind of thing. But looking back, it's fine. I don't hate it nearly as much now. We have Sting and Darby Allin versus Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett. Sting took a brutal choke slam. I like cringe every time Sting hits the deck after the Seth Rollins debacle, which I know people like blame Seth Rollins for that. It was a run of the mill buckle bomb that was not received well on Sting's part. Not his fault, just not received well because of his body. But nonetheless, whenever I see Sting take a bump, I sort of like tense up, because I just, oh man, he's another bad spot away from, like, you know, us never seeing him anywhere near wrestling again. With that being said though, I also wrote here, this thing bumps very well for his age. And you know who else did, for the most part, was Ric Flair. That man is ancient. He doesn't do it anymore, but he is ancient, and he was taking bumps, and he does them pretty well. That's what a lifetime in the business will do for you, I guess. I have here, Darby Allin has no remorse. The dude is unhinged when it comes to putting his own body on the line. He is without caution, Darby Allin. He's one of my favorite right now in AEW, because he's just so unique, and you love those guys that are just willing to put it all on the line. Sting and Allin win this. I'm 5-2 on the night. Next up was one of my favorite outcomes of the night. What's wild is I wasn't a fan of it at the time. I was indifferent at the time, and then dwelling on it, I really actually like it. which is Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter for the interim women's championship, which has, I'm dropping stuff, guys, which if you've watched Dynamite, you now know is no longer the interim women's championship. This was a great match. Baker got involved, but Hayter still won that. Like, do you know what I mean by that? Like, Baker, she got involved, but I still believe that Hayter, you know, she earned that win. Of an underrated match of the night candidate for me, Hayter wins. She's, and obviously, if you watch Dynamite, they're not calling it the interim anymore. So Jamie Hayter is your AEW Women's Champion, and I think it's very, very well deserved. And I am 5-3 in the night because I had selected Toni Storm. So dropping two in a row. Next, we had the Acclaimed and Swerve in Our Glory. First of all, the Acclaimed, they never miss with their pre-match rap. I love it. The hype is real with these guys. I hope they hold the belts for so long. It's just, AEW is a better product when these guys are the champion. It just is. They are taking wrestling world by storm. I wrote here, Swerve slapped Keith Lee and my life flashed before my eyes. not to be corny and laugh at my own joke, but I thought that was so funny because it's just like, the dude has a death wish. Keith Lee walked out on Swerve, and the Acclaimed won. This was not a surprise, really. I expected the Acclaimed to win. I expected there to be shenanigans with Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland here. This was the right call. This was the right outcome. They furthered the story. I have no problem with any way any of this played out. It was great. The Acclaimed retains. All of the correct things happened here. And then finally, the main event, Jon Moxley and MJF. The match was fine. It was as expected. These guys are good. It's the in-ring drama here that catches your eye more than anything, right? They do such a great job storytelling. Whereas the Death Triangle and the Elite was a lot about the in-ring work that tells the story. These two relied a lot more on the actual drama behind the wrestling to carry their story. Obviously, the big shock of the night was Regal coming down and telling MJF to put the ring away and don't you dare. And MJF throws it, gives Regal the finger. And then at some point, Regal slid into brass knucks to MJF, blew everybody's lid. MJF hits Moxley with the brass knucks and pins him for the belt. MJF won. This was fantastic. It felt like such a huge moment. I know people aren't a huge fan of how this happened, but what are you going to do? One of my favorite parts of this entire story, though, was after in the post-match with the press conference stuff, and MJF was like, you idiots ate it up. I told you I wanted to win clean. I can't believe you fell for that. You know, yada, yada. It's such a great, you know, layer to this character. I was fooled. I'll admit, you know, hand in the air. I thought for sure we were getting an MJF face turn, and we may at some point, but I thought for sure it was coming with this, and it didn't, and that's okay. But man, what a card! Grading wise, this gets an A+. Like, no doubt about it, it gets an A+. Even the matches I didn't think were awesome were not nearly bad enough to bring it down even a half letter grade. I forgot to write it down. A+ overall. This was so great. Worth every penny you spent on it. I can't say enough about it. AEW puts these cards together in a way that just is not being done anywhere else. So kudos to them. But to cover some Dynamite real quick before I quit blabbing at you guys. There was the night opened with Regal, which, you know, was the right call here because it was the biggest story of Full Gear. So opening the night with, you know, an explanation would have been great. You didn't really get one, though, did you? He sort of told you, you know, wrote an email, and you'll hear more from MJF when he's there next week. They're really making you wait it out for this one. The story here, though, was Moxley coming out and he wanted a piece. He wanted a piece of Regal. Danielson gets involved, puts his hands on Moxley. I'm not sure where the story's going, but I'm here for it. I love it. I love the rift in the Blackpool Combat Club. I'm loving it. Then there's an interview backstage with Keith Lee. Swerve interrupted. Keith Lee, you know, he tells Swerve to choose his words wisely. Swerve blocked the camera and told him, like, you know, let's talk. Then there was, I'm sorry, I'm moving real quick for you guys. I really wanted to recap Full Gear while also sort of incorporating the fallout onto Dynamite, and I spent a lot of time talking about Full Gear. Orange Cassidy versus Jake Hager for the All-Atlantic Championship match. This match was won by Orange Cassidy with the Orange Punch. But the big story here is, I don't know if anybody expected Hager to win this, but the big story here was House of Black, baby. They're back. And they're taking on everybody. It doesn't even matter. I love it. I love Malakai Black. This is, I can't express to you guys enough how much of a great time it is to be a wrestling fan. I know we said that when AEW first became a thing, but now that, like, Triple H is in charge of what happens with WWE for the most part, I know that's more political than that, but now that you're getting such a better product out of WWE and AEW continues to just be good, you're getting the best wrestling product you can get. I cannot stress that part enough. I'm recording this very late in the week. Survivor Series is Saturday. Survivor Series War Games. It's going to be a fantastic card. Obviously, it's not something I cover on this platform. I'm not even going to cover it on my other show. We got a lot of football things happening. But obviously, with the WWE podcast here, you get your fix on all things WWE and Survivor Series. But my point is, with the quality of content you're getting between, you know, all of the wrestling promotions, and that includes Ring of Honor, which I know is now under the umbrella of AEW, but still, there's so many good things happening. Then there was, I gotta keep it moving for you, the men's world title eliminator finals with Ethan Page and Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks wins the AEW World Championship Eliminator Tournament. After footage was shown from Sunday night in Miami when TBS champion Jade Cargill came face-to-face with rap star Bow Wow, Renee Paquette interviewed TBS champion Jade Cargill and the baddies backstage. Sorry, I know I read that off the thing. But Jade said there would be a celebration next week in honor of retrieving her TBS championship. I hate that she even had to do that. Smart Mark Sterling served papers to Kara Hogan, relieving her of her duties as a baddie. Then we went right into the best of seven series. This is one of the best things happening in wrestling right now. Sorry, I wanted to skip right over to this. The idea that they made this the best of seven series tells you that I'm not crazy, and I know that you didn't think I was anyway, but with how good these guys are together, having them do a best of seven series is just amazing. So I want to talk about a few different possible outcomes with this, right? And one of them, I think that's it's more likely, not the most likely outcome, but more likely than we give it credit for, is that Death Triangle sweeps. And that sounds insane, but hear me out, okay? Imagine for a moment that you get four straight unbelievable matches. Would you really be so upset if Death Triangle won? Think about how insanely strong Death Triangle looks if they sweep the Elite. And then obviously there'd be this backswing of you know, the bounce back for the Elite, and they'd go on some insane win streak. You would get that part of it. So it would be okay. If any group can overcome a sweep, it's the Elite. So don't count that potential outcome out. What I think is probably the likeliest of outcomes is Death Triangle wins one more. Excuse me, Death Triangle won this second one to go up 2-0. And I know I'm jumping around on you again. I'm scatterbrained. Death Triangle, I expect to win the next one, go up 3-0. Then I expect the Elite to come back three straight, to have it tied at six, to have the blow off number seven at whatever event they do, is what I expect to happen, in which case the Elite will probably win the Trios Championship, which I'm down for. There are very few outcomes here I'm not going to be okay with. But I just wanted to talk about that quick because I'm so excited for that. I know I jumped around a bit, and I apologize that I was, you know, I ran through things. I didn't spend a lot of time on stuff. I have about 30 minutes to talk to you guys. I do appreciate you coming back and listening to me each week, for those of you who are. And, hey, let me know if there is, if you didn't like any of the things I said. I love to go back and forth. If those of you who follow me, you know, I love to go back and forth with people. But if you're listening to this, I want you to tweet at me your favorite Young Bucks rivalry. It doesn't have to be AW specific. Just tweet at me your favorite Young Bucks rivalry. And if you have a specific match, card, pay-per-view, you know, shoot me that link as well in the tweet, because I'll go back and I'll watch. I'm never above watching, going back and watching old matches. And so I'll leave you with this. Go back, and I know this isn't AEW related, but go back and watch the NXT TakeOver. I'm doing a terrible job of this. The NXT TakeOver of Shinsuke Nakamura and Sami Zayn. That is one of the most incredible matches I've ever seen. And those of you who immediately had that light bulb go off when I said that, you know what I'm talking about. I can't remember which TakeOver it was. And maybe one of you guys can refresh my memory. But that's my homework for you guys. You guys give me some too. Shoot me the your favorite Young Bucks rivalry or match or series rather. I'd love to go back and watch them. For those of you who don't know this about me, I think I said this when I first did a show. I'm a huge, huge Philadelphia Eagles fan. I will be in attendance this weekend, Sunday Night Football, going to Philly. But me and a couple of my friends, my brother, also an Eagles fan. And a couple of our friends are mixed Eagles Packers fans, and we got a bunch of tickets for Sunday Night Football. So we're headed to Philly this weekend on Saturday, and we're going to be there Sunday night for the game. So go Birds. And I'm out of here. Thanks for listening to me, guys. I really appreciate it. Talk to you next week. Later.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app, so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWEpodcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.